Would you open up to two scriptures, please? 1 Corinthians 15 and 2 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians 15, the obvious chapter. 1 Corinthians 15, and we read from verse 39 to 50. 1 Corinthians 15, 39. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another of flesh of beasts, another of fish. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, and it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And as it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural. Afterwards, the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was a man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we also shall bear the image of the heavenly man. What a glorious future for the believer. Turn over, please, to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we'll read the first 8 verses. 2 Corinthians 5, 1 to 8. For we know that if our earthly house is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in the tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee or a down payment of further things to come. Verse 6, therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please, with me. And look at verse 44. Verse 44. A natural body raised to be a spiritual body. There's a natural body in which we are living in now. And the promise of a spiritual, glorious body in the future. Now the Christian will have a changed body. Take this very carefully. We will have a changed body. But we should be ourselves. We should be identified as ourselves, but in a new changed body, either at the rapture, of course, or the resurrection of the church. It will not be a new body. It will be a changed body. If it was a new body, it will be a new creation, and not really a resurrection act or a rapture act. If it's a new creation, you could be looking like somebody else, somebody different from what you really are. Now think about that one. You see, the body or the new body we have will be recognized just like Moses and Elijah were recognized on the Mount of Transfiguration. They were changed, but they were recognizable for who they were. They didn't have a totally new creation about them. They were identified, recognized facially, and they were known as such. So will you be. You'll be yourself, but in a spiritual body, that's you. And with the Lord Jesus, remember when his resurrection appearances to the disciples and later on, of course, to Thomas, he was visible and touchable, and he could eat to prove himself real, not a ghost. And Jesus still had the scars, of course, and he would have them for a very long time because the Jewish people would see him whom they appeared. Now, when it comes to in heaven at last, he may then not have them. We were talking about that this morning. So the natural body then becomes a spiritual body, but it's really you. You'll be changed, but not entirely new, as if you were somebody different than you are now. Except, of course, for the body. So we inherited the sin nature from Adam, as we read, we're from the dust, but we're going to be spiritual and glorified as well. Will you go to 1 Timothy for a moment? 1 Timothy chapter 2. And look at verse 5. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. We have a man in heaven. Now, before he came to the earth, he did not have a body. He has one now. But it is a resurrected, ascended, glorified body, exalted, glorious body. And we're going to be like him with a glorious body also. What a wonderful change that's going to be. We're going to be instantly with the Lord should we die. Or indeed, when we're raptured as well. That's important. Let's think of three things. The substance of the new body, the attributes of that new body, the very nature of that new body. Let's think about that. Let's think about the substance. What's it going to be really like? Well, we know the resurrection body is promised to be like his glorious body. It'll have a glory about it. It'll have a radiance about it. It'll have a shining about it. It'll be a majestic body like his. We'll not become gods, but we shall be sons and daughters as we are now. We're going to be kings and priests with the Lord, reigning with him in the millennium in glorified bodies. Those around us who are saved in the tribulation and who live, they will still have the earthly bodies. We will have changed, glorious bodies. That'll be quite something, won't it, when they recognize us. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21. It'd be worthwhile looking at that, please. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21. Very important verse. Philippians 3:21. Let's look at verse 20 first of all to introduce that. Our citizenship, or if you like, our way of life, is in heaven. That's our future home. We're living, we trust, and one aspect of a heavenly life. From which also we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform and change our lowly body, our natural body, our corrupt body, that it may be conformed, transformed and conformed to his glorious body. There it is. We have a glorious body ahead of us, a glorious future, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. And so the apostle then adds something important because of all that truth. Verse 1 of chapter 4. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, beloved, because of what future you have ahead of you. What blessings we have from him. How true that is. Of course, after the resurrection, Jesus had no blood, did he? Shed it all. Because in his appearance, he said, look, I'm not a ghost, I'm not a spirit. I am real in a new body. I am flesh and bone. I'm not flesh and blood, he shed it all. And in that sense, the Lord Jesus, in his glorified body, he has flesh and bone. Bone needing for the structure of the body shape. And we know that the blood of Jesus Christ, which he shed, cleanses us from all sin and continues to do so. Luke 24, verse 39 says that he had flesh and bone in his resurrection body. And our resurrection body, we were like that. No blood, don't need it. We know we need blood now because we pass oxygen around the body, digestive food around the body to sustain our body. We won't need that then. We won't need blood. Now let's just go back to 1 Corinthians where we were, and that's quite important. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's a glorious chapter on the resurrection, of course. We shall need a new flesh, a new body, to adapt to our new future. That's important. We shall need a new body for a heavenly experience and to live in eternity in the presence of the Lord. We shall need the new body both in heaven and in the millennial earth as well, as he is back reigning and ruling in a glorious way on his throne. Now, we know that in this chapter 15, we read there are different glories of the flesh, if you like. Different types of flesh and different glories. We saw that there. But our body will be, as it is, sown in corruption. We've inherited Adam's sin nature. But we'll be raised in incorruption. That will not be there anymore in the new body. Changed in a form. It's new, of course, but not an entirely new creation, as I said. It is sown in corruption, we found that, and raised in incorruption. Sown in dishonor, raised in glory. Look in verse 42. Verse 42 to 44. Resurrection of the dead, body sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. Verse 42. 43, it is sown in dishonor, as part of the body in the fallen nature, where we have a new nature now. It is raised in glory. What a prospect. When Jesus, as I mentioned last week, was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration, probably snow-covered Mount Hermon, which made the shining all more brilliant, Jesus shone from within outwards to his disciples. That was a glory that he showed once only. But he's going to show that glorious in the millennium and in heaven, of course. And we're going to be like that. We're not going to be gods, but sons and daughters of the Lord God. So the different glories and different parts as far as the earthly things are concerned, we're going to be raised in power. We're all raptured in power, whichever it shall be. Yes, we know sown in dishonor, but raised in glory. No longer the fallen old man, old nature will not be there. We'll have a changed body, a changed life completely. Go down to verse 49 in 1 Corinthians 15, 49. As we have borne the image of the man of dust, the first Adam, point 4, we shall also bear the image or the likeness of the heavenly man, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a man in heaven now. Man Christ Jesus, we read earlier. We'll bear his image, we'll be in his likeness. And we shall see him as he is, says 1 John. And we shall be like him. We'll see him as he is. Not as he was in the shame of the cross, but in his glory. We shall see him and be like him. What a prospect we've got. We can hardly imagine it. Wonderful, isn't it? You see, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Not blood. A new body, a new flesh, if you like, will. And will be a glorified life. That's tremendous, isn't it? When you think about that. We enter the kingdom of God with that changed body. In a glorified body. In Jude, you can turn to it, I quoted Jude verse 24. Jude 24 says this: he who is able to keep you from falling will present you and preserve you, the whole redeemed body, in Christ, faultless, praise the Lord, that's coming, before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. I read it again. He who is able to keep you from falling will present the whole redeemed body of Christ, all the true church, building, body, and bride, faultless before the presence of his glory. We're going to be with him before his presence of his glory with exceeding joy, of course. Oh my, we see, if you like, through a dark glass at the moment, don't we? It's going to be glorious. Now, even in our earthly bodies, I mentioned last week, we certainly have changes in our earthly bodies. The ladies know that each month, that's certainly true. Other things, and we're told, medically speaking, that there are certain parts of our body get changed every 7 years anyway. Interesting, seven, isn't it? Now, in 1 Corinthians 15, if you're still there, let's go back to something which is really common sense. Look in verse 36. Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some grain, or flesh, whether it's animals, human beings, birds, fish, they all have a certain type of flesh, so do we, different from them, made in the image of God, physically speaking. Adam, of course, we know that. So a wheat grain sown becomes a wheat ear. It doesn't become a dandelion or a thistle. What is sown becomes alive, healthily speaking. So we're going to have the same identity, though we'll have new bodies. I will recognize you, you'll recognize me, and others that you know. Others that have gone on to be with the Lord that you knew. And that will be an undefiled, incorruptible, immortal body. Oh, what a dramatic, wonderful, glorious change that's going to be. Prepare for the presence of the Lord. Prepare for the presence of the Father. The Holy Spirit also there. And we will recognize one another in heaven. Because though the body is changed, we will not be an entirely new creation. You'll be different if you were a new creation. Romans 8 says, even now the Spirit groans within ourselves, waiting for the final aspect of our redemption. The final part, new body, for the Lord. Chapter 8, 21-23. What about the attributes of the resurrection body? What will it be really like? It'll be having a glorious new quality of life you've never had before. You've got the embryo of it now, of course.
because you've got new life in Christ. But it'll be a glorious, full quality of life, like His. Our resurrection bodies, incorruptible, as you know, immortal, glorious, having a great capacity for power to worship the Lord. You think about the scenes described in the book of Revelation. All those myriads worshipping the Lord. Now we have our limitations of that down here, let's be honest about it. We will be worshipping the Lord much, much greater in our new body. In an immortal body, incorruptible body, in a glorious body. A new quality of life, pulsating with power and glory. That's certainly true. Greater capacity for worship, greater capacity for praise, greater capacity to serve Him when we come down here in the millennium, in our new body. Would you go to 1 Corinthians, back in verse chapter 6, please? This is very helpful. 1 Corinthians 6, and look at verse 14, like a bit of a summary, really. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 14. God both raised up the Lord, and will also raise us up by His power. Can you imagine the power that's going to raise the body from the grave or wherever into a glorious new body? No longer dust and fallen, but formed a new glorious body, fashioned like His glorious body, is a promise to you and to me. Tremendous, isn't it? He raised up the Father and the Holy Spirit, raised His Son. Jesus said, I can raise myself up. So they all took part in that. If you look at the end of verse 13, it's interesting. But it is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. The Lord for the body, His great care for us, changing us now to some extent, that's quite true. As we grow in Christ, that's quite right. That's certainly very true. Our dishonor will vanish away. The attribute of a glorified life, power to serve, power to worship, power to praise, power to be available, willingness as never before to serve in gratitude to what the Lord will do for us. The dead will be raised. They will have their own personal identity, so will you. Thoroughly preserved, you'll be recognizable. Our present body, of course, as we know, is subject to disease, decay, death, and the destruction to dust. But we as believers know we shall have a new body like Christ's glorious body, which will all be changed, bodily immortality and incorruptible nature. Never to die again, hallelujah, eternal life. And we shall receive all that the Lord has planned and promised for you and me as believers. Our predestined potential, what we can be, what we shall be in the new glorified, is in His likeness. We shall be clothed more perfectly. We have His righteousness now, but we shall be in the likeness and conformity to Christ and transformed to be like Him in quality of life, attributes of life, and the very substance of life, like His glorious body is now. We shall be like Him, transformed and conformed to Christ. What a wonderful and new aspect we shall have. So in effect, shall we not really praise the Lord for what we shall be, not for what we are? The potential is there. It's going to be great. And while we're in 1 Corinthians 15, let's look at the conclusion of chapter 15, that glorious resurrection chapter. Look at the conclusion, as I conclude. The end of chapter 15. This is how the Apostle Paul, led by the Spirit, sums it all up. Paul mocks death and the grave and Hades in verse 55. But 57 says, but thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, both now and particularly in the future. Therefore, or because of all that, 58, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. We trust that we shall receive His well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord in a new, but a changed, glorious, immortal, incorruptible, never to die again, a glorious future. We're able to worship and praise and thank the Lord as never before. We feel a bit frustrated. We wish we could express ourselves more than we can in this body, but it's not that easy, is it? One day we will, in a glorious, transformed, like His glorious body. We shall be like Him and see Him as He is glorious now. Let us withdraw in praise, nothing else will.
Can you speak up for them because they won't hear it from you?
Oh, sorry, asking questions, sorry. Yes, that's true. Well, I suppose largely speaking, Jesus might have introduced them to who they were. That's certainly very likely, isn't it? It's possible when you think of the appearance of Moses, from what they knew of him in the Old Testament, and Elijah as a prophet, a fiery prophet. Looking at their appearance, they might have guessed who they were. Possibly, we don't know. But obviously, almost certainly, Jesus told them who they were anyway, more than likely. We're not told. Yeah. Interesting, though. I have thought about that myself, too. Yeah. Thank you, Chris.
Just while we're done.
Yes.
When we get our resurrection body.
Will we need what?
Food.
We won't need it, no, but...
I didn't think we did.
No, we don't need it, but we might enjoy it. Like Jesus. He proved himself who he
Jesus
was.
Jesus did.
Yeah, but he did. He proved himself by that, but it wasn't necessary for him either. But... certainly it says in the Millennium that we should enjoy the Feast of Tabernacles in the marriage supper of the Lamb. So we should eat and enjoy it at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And maybe as we enjoy... Pardon? Probably as we come to like a good healthy maturity in our own life, maybe in our 20s, maybe. Just guessing, of course. Maybe in our 20s, 30 at the most, perhaps. Yes, that's right. He was 30 when he began his ministry, yes. And died at 33. Maybe about that late 20s, early 30s, at maturity in a sense, bodily speaking, and in appearance too. I mean, you didn't know me and I didn't know you when you were in the 20s and 30s, so I guess there'll be some features that are recognisable when we were much younger, yes. Interesting thought, that too, isn't it? How we would recognise one another when we're so much younger, and we didn't know one another then. Interesting, you asked all sorts of questions. Maybe there's some of the answers we don't know about them. Nothing, no harm in being curious, is there? That's right, thank you. Over to you, Jim.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Danny. Just a brief one tonight.
Thank you.
Pardon?
He's to terminate the recording.
Yeah. About 15 minutes, was it?